Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It's game day, and I think if you're the Rangers or the Sabres, you can look favorably upon recent history in the head-to-head meeting. It's one of those rare situations, Marty, where I think both teams feel like, we play well against these guys, and the numbers would back that up, as Buffalo has endured a pretty long run of challenging, to say the least, games against the New York Rangers, but I feel like in the Levi and Lukanen era, the results have been pretty good, and both boast nice career numbers against New York, and we'll see Lukanen amidst no lineup changes for the Sabres tonight.
Yeah, he made a pretty good save on Jimmy Vesey at MSG last year, I believe it was, with the stick, the paddle down, and, you know, so yeah, I mean, there's certain things that you can't explain, and how you feel in a certain building and playing against a certain team is one of those mysterious things about sports, right? A pitcher liking to pitch in a certain venue, in a certain ballpark. You know, sometimes it's the sight lines with basketball shooting in a certain arena, or football with, you know, where you are. And hockey is the same thing, especially when it comes to goaltenders playing in a building against an opponent. And Lukanen's had some success in New York against the Rangers of recently. And you talk about Levi as well, but it is going to be Lukanen. Now, this matchup against the Rangers to me is very interesting, because I do believe that the Rangers are a fantastic hockey team. They're 8-2-1. They lost to Washington and they lost to Florida, I believe, those two regulation losses.
Yes, Bob's 400th.
Bob's 400. And then Washington, you know, they can score. And it's funny because the Rangers have the firepower, the Panarin, the Zibanejad, the Lafreniere. You know, they've got the Fox, and, you know, they've got the guys that can score, and they got the goaltending, but you can get to them. They give up a lot, especially from the slot. You know, so there's a way for the Sabres to create offense, to be the team on the front foot, right, on the pedal, as opposed to say, oh, we got to watch the Rangers. They're going to come at us. Yeah, the Rangers have a ton of offense, but you can get...
Writing about the Rangers in New York is, you know, promising that they still have an awful lot more to show, give, whatever, than what their impressive record shows off the start of the year. So it'll be Shesterkin and Lukanen, your goaltending matchup tonight. Buffalo's got points in 6 of the last 7 head-to-head against the Rangers, and they've gone 2-0-2 in their last 4 trips to MSG. So those are, you know, nice statistical notes, but more importantly, they need to be built upon in a manner in which was established on Tuesday. Now, producer Jeff, and maybe you, I don't know. I was, as you know, I'm out of market when it comes to social media and X specifically. You guys followed up on yesterday's show by, you know, kind of canvassing a little bit more in not only what stood out, but what is most likely to continue.
It's like this sustainable, is the new,
this,
yes.
This is the new Sabres green team. Remember, like, blue and gold makes green? Like, what is sustainable here as far as the Sabres and their success on Tuesday night? So, you know, we presented top line scoring, which, yeah, like, I think that's a default for most people. That's why they're there. But it was matched up against physicality, star goaltending. And by that, I was being a little bit cheeky and specific in the fact that a goalie was named one of the three stars in the game. That's happened three times this year for Buffalo. And offense from the defense, which we will undoubtedly explore in way cooler
fashion. Of the sustainable fashion for the Sabres this season. And it was in the lead for the better part of the first two or three hours of the poll. And then physicality took over. So top line scoring was 31%. Physicality ended up taking the, you know, the champ belt yesterday for the Twitter poll at 42%. Star goaltending 11%, and offense from the defense was 15%, I believe. So you're looking at all of it, and I think the top two are the this fan base thinks that what is sustainable is playing with an edge, being emotionally engaged in the game and having that physicality, right? Jordan Greenway physicality, Dennis Gilbert physicality, even Dylan Cousins physicality. There was physicality very much involved in the game. And that top line scoring could come in at number two, because we've seen Thompson, Tuck, and Peterka dictate, especially against Ottawa, when you look at the zone time, the cycle time, the shots to the net, and then puck recoveries, and then continue to spend time into the offensive zone. So those were the top two, physicality and top line scoring as more sustainable.
Is this a changing of the guard when it comes to Sabres fans' perception of what this team is capable of? Because I never would have guessed, and maybe they weren't reading, and this is a, I'm not suggesting you weren't. I'm saying maybe some of you weren't reading it in the sense of what is most sustainable. Like, you could, I don't know if you, how you would have misinterpreted it, but here's the thing. Most people have felt the Sabres aren't physical enough.
Yes.
So the fact that they had an impact game like that, and now people believe that that can be sustained, is super interesting to me. And do the players believe it, most importantly? And how important is it, in your opinion?
Well, it was funny because yesterday I thought physicality was a little lower on my list, because I believe that to have a physical impact on the game, you often have to have a willing combatant, a team that on the other side is willing to be pushing back, be physical. Like if Jordan Greenway hits Tim Stützle and Brady Tkachuk doesn't go after Greenway, and all of a sudden the fireworks don't go and you don't have that willing combatant on the other side that's willing to go toe-to-toe with you in the physical side of things, well, you're chasing your own tail, right? Like you're going to chase to be physical. It's not there. But what's interesting to me is that you can try as hard as you want as a top line to produce offense, but the other team has a lot to say about, hey, the goalie can stop you. They can play very tight defensively against your top line. So there's a side of things that, well, you can try to be offensively good as a top line, but it's not just about what you do. The other team has to open the door a little bit. Same thing with star goaltender. Everybody wants to go in a game and say, I want to be the first star of the game, Levi Lukanen. But there's offense from the defense is the same thing. The one thing that you can control, you can look at it and say you have it in your hand, is can you be physical every night? Like, I think that that's what the fan base is looking at and saying, hey, with Lindy's message and with the team wanting to be more intense, emotionally involved, and physical, that could happen every night. You know, just maybe you win a game 1-0, and maybe the goal comes from Peyton Krebs. That's not top line scoring. That's not offense from the defense. Yeah, you're getting star goaltender, but you can still be physical every night and set that as the identity. I think that's where this poll leads me to think that that's in your control. Can you be physical every night? And if you can control that, that's sustainable.
I'm wondering what leads people to think that this particular element of the team is sustainable. Is it believing in the coach's message since he returned to the organization? So, you know, that has been put, it's the seed has been planted, right? The other part is roster configuration and where the emphasis and talking points were throughout the course of the summer. which inevitably leads you to think, well, they could be and should be different, more physical, et cetera, right?
Yep.
Based on previous incarnations. Or is it, was it just such a startling, I don't want to say one-off, because you have felt at times there has been more of a presence physically from this team.
Yep.
I'm just wondering if it was just such an attention grabber that, you know, that it is kind of a fond takeaway, like for fans, like something that they, you know, they go to the building hoping for a win. I think that's what everybody expects when they go to the arena, right? But when you walk out of it and you've got a whole bunch of different talking points, and maybe some of them were not top of mind going in, I think that ends up maybe lingering with you a little longer.
I think that you go to the rink, you want your team to win, and you want to be entertained. That's the two things, right? Like, I think you start with, we want the home team to win, or the team you're cheering for to win, and you want to be entertained. Physicality is a big part of being entertained. When you go in, you hit, you get the puck, you create a chance at the net, you're in the battle at the net, you push back, you're going for rebound. Tage Thompson crashed into the goalie, puck hits him. That's physicality. That's not just Jordan Greenway getting a fight and Gilbert getting a fight. There's a lot of other parts of the game that's physicality. So, but I believe the message from Lindy Ruff, and since he got hired, is what people are buying into. You know, we just went through, like, you know, a lot of years of fans being angry that, well, the team's not pushing back and the team's not pushing back. And I get it, but not every team that wins and that is successful push back. There's many different ways to do that, but that's an identity that fans still remember from the 90s, from, you know, middle of the 2000s, from teams that they associated with winning here in Buffalo, is they had a physicality, a pushback. And right now, that's what they're clinging on to, the message from Lindy Ruff, that they're hoping the players are going to respond with that type of physicality every night.
Is it you? Is it me? Is it Spalding Lake Wi-Fi or something else that's making you look a little wonky today?
No, I think it's nothing. I look good. Well, I got a haircut today, so maybe that's why I look wonky. But I'm keeping the hat on, so I want to do a full reveal on
you and your full reveal.
It's power not plays. Change. It's just short on the side. That's fine.
what would be the greatest? And by the way, like we did kind of infer this off the top, and it has been confirmed by the coach. No lineup changes. So that makes you what, 1-for-1 this week on bold predictions?
Bold prediction. I was one. Actually, I said Ovi was going to score last night. We can talk about it.
Sabres bold predictions.
I know. Sabres bold prediction. 1-for-1. I thought that was a pretty easy one, although you didn't think so. And you know what? You
made some really good. Actually,
you made some really good, valid arguments as to why you didn't think so. But when Lindy spoke to the media today, I thought one of the things that he pointed out that I noticed really much so when it comes to the defense in the game against Ottawa was that first pass. It was making a quick first pass, making sure you're out of the zone, making sure you're in transition. And against the Rangers tonight, it's going to be a point of emphasis with the Sabres. You cannot give Lafreniere, Zibanejad, Panarin, Trocheck second opportunities. You cannot give them a half ice to attack on or a quarter ice to attack on. That first pass has to be good. And often it wasn't even a direct pass. It was off the wall and chip into the offensive zone against Ottawa. And you're on the work and you're going. So to me, that is a big point of why that group of six is coming back, because Bryson had an impact with that first pass. Byram had an impact with that first pass. Clifton coming back in the lineup had an impact with that first pass. It was a very big noticeable point on Tuesday against Ottawa.
Well, I'll ask it again. How long would it stay this way? Assuming they win tonight.
Assuming they win tonight, it's staying another game. Another game. Look, I'm not saying that you have to keep the same lineup until you lose, but if they beat the New York Rangers tonight and then all of a sudden you're putting yourself a two-game winning streak and you're looking at three with Calgary on Saturday afternoon and your Montreal's coming in Monday, like there's a bit of a rhythm that you can get into here. And it's It's bad. But I can tell you, I remember, and I've told this story before, Dominic Hasek was struggling a little bit. We're talking about the 98-99 season. Or 99-2000 maybe. Anyway, at the end of the season, struggling a little bit, coming back from injury. And we were playing, you know, in Detroit. And Lindy spoke in front of everybody. He says, Marty's starting tonight. And that was my second game in a row. Like, nobody played. Dominic never sat two games in a row on the bench. Mm-hmm. Like, Hasek is your guy. He's going to sit one, and he's going to play 4 or 5 in a row. Sit one, 4 or 5 in a row that he's playing. And all of a sudden, I'm out there playing two games in a row. Why? Because I was playing well. Dom was just getting back into the rhythm, and he wasn't playing so well, and Lindy made that decision. If he can do that to to Dominic Hasek, I mean, yes, that's 25 years ago, but I think over the years, you can find example of Lindy Ruff not afraid of saying, whatever lineup works, I'm going with it. Doesn't matter who you are. You'll get back in the lineup. Jokiharju is going to get back in the lineup at some point. Samuelson's going to get back in the lineup. But winning is the number one thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Samuelson didn't seem, too overly bent out of shape about it. Let's put it that way. He suggested yesterday that, he wasn't particularly pleased with his own play, so it didn't come out of left field. This situation of not playing, but again, you just go back to the fact of how it's configured, and it'll be interesting to watch. Obviously, I suppose, good problem to have. Like, if you're winning, keep these problems coming, right? So that's really what it comes down to. But anyway,
And right now, like, again, we're still going to talk. I think when I look at the Rangers lineup and I look at their second line right now, yes, Vinny Trocheck is there, but they have Riley Smith and Will Cooley on that second line. This is an opportunity for the Dylan Cousins line. And again, you're still, you won against Ottawa, but you didn't get much of the second line. But Benson is now with Cousins and Quinn. That's a matchup for me, looking ahead to being on the road. You're probably going to, Thompson is going to see a lot of Fox and Lindgren, right? Or maybe even Trouba and Miller. Like, that's the top four in defense. How can you take advantage by having some other line that's supposed to produce offensively get involved? And that's, right now, you won 3 in a row, lost 3 in a row, 1-1. Like, you got to get that second line going. That's a big question mark again, but with a big test for them in against the Rangers tonight.
Once again, if you're just joining us, no lineup changes for Buffalo tonight. They take on the Rangers for their only visit into Manhattan. They'll have two more against New York in Buffalo later on this year. And right now, the Rangers are certainly in an, we've said this often. I mean, the division is now quite something. The Metro, that is, at the top end for sure. Carolina has won 7 in a row. The Rangers are 8-2-1, and Washington is 9-3. So you have teams 2, 3, and 4 in NHL points percentage, all in the same division. So,
The
Rangers
are
not
four,
taking
right?
any of this lightly, knowing how tight their race to the President's Trophy was with Carolina previously, right? Like, it comes down to the final weekend. So, it's, you've got a little separation. It's funny that the Rangers are a wild card team technically at the moment, but that's because the Devils have played so many games.
More games.
But you can only look up. There's no sense rewinding at this point from a Sabre standpoint. So, we'll see where it goes tonight, but
special teams, Duffer. Look at the battle tonight again. Look at special teams, and the Rangers are the number one team in the NHL when it comes to spending time in the offensive zone on the power play. Percentage of time, not like a full 2 minutes, but if they score a minute in, they spend about 80% of their time on the power play in the offensive zone. That's a huge number, right? So for every minute, you spend 50 seconds of a minute in the offensive zone. Like, that's a big number. And right now, the Sabres have been, pretty good on the PK. When you look at their last game, Lindy Ruff mentioned the penalty kill was huge against the Ottawa Senators. So this, to me, is, can you be able to limit the chances? Give the New York Rangers the zone time. Let him pass it around. Can you protect against 1, 2, 3 scoring chances in a row? Because that's what the Rangers have been able to do. I think that's going to be huge in that aspect when it comes to, you know, special teams, because the Rangers, they like to have the puck. They hang on to the puck and they wait for you to break before they make a move. And you don't want to give them that chance to make the move.
Quick transition to the Amerks and an historic night in Cleveland. Marty, it was top three worst all-time AHL Live/Flow Sports TV stream that I've ever watched outside of every game ever produced in Belleville. They are brutal. Unwatchable is Belleville. But Cleveland, of course, plays in an NBA rink, and this is not normally an issue. They have some jarring cuts sometimes, some ridiculous takes, and I get it. It's kind of scoreboard feed, but people need to realize after time that people are paying a large sum of money to watch a reasonable quality broadcast nowadays based on their partnership with Flow. And so I'm assuming the game camera was from the lower 300 level, maybe high 200s, but from the left side blue line. So nothing ever lined up.
Yeah.
They never got close to the action.
Yeah.
It was insane. So that was hard to deal with. It was a long game because of the number of penalties. And I swear to God, there's no chance this has ever happened in hockey history.
Okay.
In a span of less than 12 minutes, these two teams combined for 4 puck over the glass penalty delay a game. The Amerks did it twice, then Cleveland did it twice. And it set the tone. The two of them then couldn't stay out of the box. And ultimately, it was, I don't want to say a runaway performance today. It was a strange game feel-wise, maybe just because it was so hard to watch. But, you know, they ran up the shot total. They got to almost 50 on the night. Sandstrom was actually pretty good facing half that volume at the other end. And, you know, they got goals from Sligert, Alenius, Yuri Kulik in his return, and Kisikov in his season debut. So really good result for the Amerks with a couple of power play goals as part of this 5-game win streak.
Congratulations to Alexander Kisikov and Ryan Johnson, who are now part of this historical moment that you just pointed out. They took the first 2 delay of game penalty just to see Cleveland with Denton Mateychuk and Stanislav. Is it
Zvozil?
Yeah. Zvozil, yeah. Anyway, so that is, put that in on a side note, that something you probably will never see again, 4 in a row like that in 12 minutes.
4 in 12 minutes. Like, that's 12
minutes.
Thing.
At the end of the first, the last 10 minutes of the first, there was 3, and 2 minutes into the second, there was another one. So, yes. But Kisikov in his first game, you just pointed out, he was part of those that take a penalty, but he did score, which is great to see.
Yuri's goal was pretty impressive.
Was the one to, like, pay attention to. Mm-hmm. Lindy Ruff mentioned he needs to be on the top power play. He needs to play top minutes. Well, you know what? He scored and it was on the power play. So great. Like, that's what you want to see. But more importantly, you said, like, the Amerks are rolling right now. That division is always really tight. Utica has not had a good start to their year. They fired their coach, Kevin Dineen, and Ryan Perrant. Is it Perrant? Perrant?
You should know, because you were both
part
of the, you were both part of the Hockey Canada, you know, gold medal experience. So,
well, I didn't play with him there. I played with him in Philly.
Close enough, though. Like, once you're in, once you're under the, yeah. So
anyway, but he's taken over. But yeah, that division is always good. Laval is good, and obviously Cleveland and Rochester are going to play a ton of games this year. So it's a great start for the Amerks. I love what I'm seeing, and it's good to see everybody. Like, Roseanne gets on the board. You know, Alenius has had a great start. Like, he can shoot the puck. When I watch Konstantin Alenius in development camp, prospect challenge, I'm like, I can see flashes, mm-hmm. but you would always do that one thing that you're like, oh, this is a, you know, young player, an experienced player's mistake. But he's gotten out of that really quickly in the first month of the season. You see a lot of maturity now in a month in the AHL season.
Yuri connected Kulik, that is, on a one-timer from Roseanne, who is leading the Amerks in points right now with 10, and just continues his very, very, very steady play. The Amerks are back home tomorrow. It's an interesting weekend as they are playing outside of their division on back-to-back nights. And usually when that happens, you'll have two of them in your building or you're going somewhere for two. But they have Hartford tomorrow and then at Wilkes-Barre on Saturday. For a million or less, can you name the Hartford Wolfpack captain?
For a million or less, you know what? I should have cheated because I had the roster open a minute ago and I don't have it now. So
it's Amerik related and it was just announced this week. Casey Fitzgerald comes in
Fitzy
tomorrow night as the new Wolfpack captain.
So. Well, good for him. That's awesome.
It is good for him.
I knew that he was in basically the Rangers organization, right? With the Hartford and the Rangers affiliation forever. But yeah, I knew that he was there, but I wouldn't have guessed that. So that's great for him.
So Darren Dreger didn't take kindly to me needling him earlier. You know, somebody must have radioed him based on what we were talking about earlier. And I'm kidding, obviously. But Darren can't make the day. We will do our best to do all the way around the NHL and then when we come back. The Amerks, as mentioned, are home tomorrow and their Hockey Fights Cancer Night is the following weekend. So we look forward to seeing you at Blue Cross Arena for that. And we want you to join us at KeyBank Center on Monday because we have a 12:30 start with Montreal in town. It's the military appreciation game for Veterans Day. Help us honor our active and retired service members and just go to sabres.com/tickets to purchase yours today. Or if you're watching on MSG right now, scan the QR code on your screen. Back after this on Sabres Live, it's a game night, Buffalo at the Rangers.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
This is the unscripted portion of Sabres Live because every other hour we've ever done is so scripted you can't even imagine. Is there a place you want to start around the NHL, Marty?
Well, I got down a rabbit hole last night.
Oh, here we go.
Ovechkin scored, right? So he's getting closer and closer. And now this is kind of interesting to me that Ovechkin got 8 already this year. He didn't get the 8 until after half the year last year. It was in February when he got his 8th goal or whatever. So Ovi scores. They wore those, when Ovechkin broke into the league, those uniforms, right, that they had back then. Mm-hmm. But it's a game-winning goal. So it made me think of, I think Ovechkin is pretty high on the list of game-winning goal. I know we all talk about him chasing the Wayne Gretzky goal record, but he's only five game-winning goals back of Jaromir Jagr for number one in the NHL in the history of the game.
In about what, 600 fewer games?
In about 300. Yeah, 1733 and 1438. So in 300 fewer games, right?
Yeah.
Here's the interesting thing. Where do you think Wayne Gretzky fits on that list of game-winning goals?
I've seen this a million times. Is he not top 10?
He's 22nd.
Yeah.
Like Jeff Carter has more game-winning goals than Wayne Gretzky.
There were many others with him capable of scoring the game winner. Plus, i.e. he wasn't a one-man show. Ovi's been a bit of a one-man show to a certain extent, right?
Yes. The percentage of goals and of OVI.
Backstrom was feeding him, and Wayne was like, how many game winners has Wayne assisted on? when you're talking about the greatest playmaker in the history of the game, who has more assists than anybody else has points, let's do the math on Wayne's game-winning assists and, you know, maybe then raise a flag for concern. But it is a super interesting
So Washington wins 3-2. Ovechkin gets a goal. He's got one of the three goals that the Capitals scored. So he has a chance, one out of three chance to have the game-winning goal. And that's been, like, common in the era of Ovechkin with the Washington Capitals. When Gretzky and the Oilers were really hot and Gretzky was scoring a ton of goals, they were winning 7-2. He had one goal or maybe two goals, but that's still not one out of three chances to have the game-winning goal. Maybe he got the first and second goal, and then he said, I'm done for the night, and he didn't get the third or the fourth goal that were the game-winning goals.
So what feed were you watching of that game?
I was watching more on, I actually had the Detroit-Chicago game on.
No, but that's not possible to watch Washington and Nashville.
I know, but then I was watching like through social media. I was getting clips and highlights of everything. So, yes.
So you weren't watching either the Washington or Nashville feed is what you're telling me.
No, but I did see Dylan Strome missing the net and Ovechkin celebrating like it was a goal. And
that then
he kept his hands in the air like, well, too late now. I'm not bringing them down.
It was pretty funny.
It was for field goal. He was actually field goal.
There was a graphic on the Predators broadcast, which really kind of put in incredible context. And they're not the only broadcast. I'm sure everybody's been running it because it's probably in their game notes. But with his goal last night.
Yes.
Ovechkin has now scored 31 times in his last 48 games.
Yeah.
Going back to last year. Do you know what that, like, what that triggered in my head as soon as I saw that?
31 times in 48 games. That's on pace for over 50.
In the lockout shortened 2012-2013 season, Ovechkin scored 32 in 48 games.
Yeah, we had 48.
We're talking about a guy who was 12 years younger then.
Yep.
Scoring at that pace, and he is now on the exact same pace. That is stunning. And oh, by the way, before the NHL started that season, he played in the KHL, and when you marry the two stats, he had another 51-goal season to his credit.
Yeah, it's and Washington crazy. Was a team in that era that was – They were a really good team. They were a top of the league team. I'm not saying they're not a good team now. They're performing and their record shows that they're a pretty good team right now, but it's not the same thing. And the fact that Ovechkin from last year and this season, his last 48 games, has gotten 31 goals, it's mind-boggling. Like how does we watch pictures of him over the summer. The guy looked like he hadn't even gotten into the gym once this summer. And then all of a sudden shows up this year and you're thinking, he may score 15 goals, let alone he's not getting to 20, and then he's got 8 already, and it's 12 games in.
So who's the leader for Coach of the Year? Spencer Carberry or Jim Hiller in L.A.?
Spencer Carberry. I think that's a Washington Capitals thing. You watch them play. It's not just Ovechkin. Dylan Strome is having a great year. Connor McMichael. Who's Connor McMichael? Well, you know what? He scored again yesterday.
Scored 18 last year.
Yeah, I get that, but it's like he gets 7, 8, 9 shots a game, Connor McMichael. Yeah. He goes to the front of the net so much so that Mike Kelly, Sports Logic, NHL Network, did a breakdown on X about Connor McMichael and the impact that he has on games. Pierre-Luc Dubois, his impact on his line with Wilson and McMichael. The fact that, you know, they got Charlie Lindgren and Logan Thompson in net. They're good. But their system really has been on point for Washington. So Spencer Carberry is the leader in the clubhouse for me.
Yeah, well, the coach opposite him last night is probably the one inching maybe closest to the hot seat. I don't know. Burnett's a legend in Nashville franchise history. Like, it'd be, you know, and it's still kind of early on in the Trotz era. But Predators are 1-3-1 in their last five. With that Trotz quote from earlier this week on sports radio in Nashville, when he was saying, you know, He's open to a rebuild if things don't.
If it doesn't turn around, yeah.
Like, okay, what? Well, here's what I noticed. Most of their big money guys have immovable contracts. So, do you think, with almost the forced patience that the Predators will have to endure here, because they can't, won't move off of any of the big ticket contracts, will they be able to salvage this thing?
A week ago, I was like, yeah, you know, they were starting.
A week ago, they were in good shape.
They were starting to get going. And look, I know we've said Juuse Saros has not had a great start to the season, but he's still top 10 in the league in goal save above expectation. So what does that tell me? Nashville gives up a ton of chances. Mm-hmm. Defensively, they're not good. They're not, and they have Brady Shea and they have Roman Josi, and the rest of their defense is really kind of pieced together. I don't like their group of six on the back end. I don't think that they added players like Marchessault and Stamkos. They're good players. Like, they should have a bigger impact than what they have right now, but they're not going to impact the game defensively. And so it creates more again against the Nashville Predators. And the system, look, Andrew Brunette, and Shayna has been very, very, Shayna Goldman, who's going to join us tomorrow, she's been critical of Brunette from when he took over in Florida and now with the Nashville Predators. I don't think they would fire Andrew Brunette. But really, if you're Barry Trotz, you've extended Forsberg, you signed Saros, you went and got Stamkos and Marchessault, and you've done the work. What's the move to make now? You're not going to go make a major trade at this moment. The move to make now is almost the move that St. Louis did when they, hired Craig Berube as a coach, or the Edmonton Oilers when they got Chris Knobloch to coach last year. Like, that's almost the one move that they have to do. I don't think they're going to do it yet, but another 3 weeks like this, and that may happen.
Would Trotz be the natural coach?
Well, it makes sense that if you can't defend and you're having a tough time defensively, that Barry Trotz would come in. And but it's hard to be a GM and a coach in today's game. Like, it's
unless
so
you're
much...
Barry Trotz, kind of like Nashville's his thing, right?
And it is. He's missing.
And he also just worked with Lou, and Lou was no stranger to adding titles to his business card throughout the course.
Lou would fire his coach 2 games before the end of the regular season, take over, and then go into playoffs. And okay. You'd be like, what are you doing?
I feel like I dwell on Nashville too much, so apologies for that. Jim Hiller, by the way, that's like my running joke all year. Like, you know, he's going to win Coach of the Year because... So he's 3-0-1 since Fialagate.
Yeah.
And Fiala has 3 goals and 6 points in those 4 games. Like, everything has worked. He's handled the goaltending perfectly. The Kings are, and oh my gosh, like, it was the Kevin Fiala world tour. Like,
yeah,
all the attention was on him. Then he goes to his 2 former stops in Nashville and Minnesota and scores in both of them. And it just is like, holy cow, how did this work out so perfectly for LA? Anyway, enough about them. The game of the night might be Winnipeg and Colorado tonight.
Yes.
So, Cale Makar, game time decision. He's quote unquote okay after the scare that he had the other night.
Yeah.
What's really interesting is that Winnipeg will be shooting against Alexander Georgiev. And I watched the Avalanche broadcast the other night, and they were kind of excited for what they expected was going to be Georgiev's turn based on how the playoffs went for Georgiev last year in Winnipeg. Remember the wild first game of the series? Yeah. Georgiev allowed 7 on 23 shots. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, what are the Avalanche going to do? But of course, simultaneously, Hellebuck was having some challenges at the other end.
Not according to him, but yes.
Correct. Numerically speaking.
Yes.
Colorado then won 4 straight games. And... the save percentage for Georgiev in the 4 wins, 933, 917, 963, 917. Like, what a response he had in that series. So does that matter on tonight's line? Like, do you think the Avs and Georgiev have a chance, or you think Winnipeg is, this is all Jets?
Okay. when I was a kid, my dad had records, right? And the bottom drawer of the TV cabinet where the turntable was, and one of the record was Men at Work. And I still remember the, you know, the artwork on the record and all that. There's a song by Men at Work that's called It's a Mistake, right? You know the song, everybody, they hear it in the arena when there's a bad call and it's a mistake. And you know, they say the song, whatever. There you go. Like, I get it that you want to get Georgiev going again, but if you're the Colorado Avalanche, you got to win games. And who's been winning you games is Justus Annunen, and he won the last game. Yeah, gave up three, but still. You tried to go Georgiev, loss. You went Kaapo Kähkönen, loss. You come back to Annunen, he wins. Like, I don't get it. I really don't get it. And Winnipeg's the hottest team in the league. They are that good. And you're going to go hoping that your goalie has a little bit of that feeling he got in the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. I think this will be a bad one.
Well, I don't know if it's they're going that way because of the feeling. Maybe it's putting a person back in a position where they've had success. Isn't that a smart thing to do?
No. I want to say yes, but I think they've tried that this year three times. He plays the first game of the year, gets pulled. Let's get him in the second game of the year. Gets pulled again. Let's start him the third game of the year. Didn't go well. Like you, I think Colorado should know by now that they've tried to put him in a situation where they would say, hey, go ahead. Go ahead. We like you. You're our guy. Like, let's get you feeling good again. And it hasn't worked. And it's early in the season right now to test out other things. Mm. Know what you've got. They've got three goalies right now, and the only one that's getting results is Annunen. And so, yeah, I mean, I think in theory, if it was just a blimp,
a blimp.
Mm. I like the Goodyear blimp. I like the blimp on the radar. If it was just a blip on the radar, I would say, okay, play Georgiev because you want to get him back in net. But it hasn't been that, and I don't get it. I just don't.
Real quick, do you know who one of the hottest goalies on North American soil is of late?
Hottest goalies in North American soil of late? Cam Talbot.
Perhaps. I'm looking at Tristan Jarry.
Oh, in the AHL?
4-0 in his AHL stint with a 169 and a 946. Yeah. Let it be a lesson that conditioning stints can be beneficial. I would expect him to be up pretty soon.
I would expect him to be up and be given another chance. But yeah, nobody wants to go in a conditioning stint. You're in the NHL. You should be able to get yourself back. But if you get to that point, you get to that point. But okay.
Tom Barrasso did it the year after winning the Calder in the Vezina. So.
Yeah, but he was also 18, 19 years old.
What does it matter? So age is just a number. Yeah,
age is not a number. At some point, the salary comes into play as well now.
Okay.
Cam Talbot has been hot, and the Detroit Red Wings won again yesterday. Mm-hmm. And look, I know... You know, we're talking about Ottawa, Buffalo, Detroit, but yesterday was a good game for the Detroit Red Wings against Chicago. Cam Talbot looked really good. He looked good, you know, the last few games I've watched him.
Yeah, they're back over 500. They've won a couple in a row and are in a decent spot that has Buffalo chasing them and hoping to catch tonight as the Sabres take on the New York Rangers at MSG. We'll wrap Sabres live after this.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres in New York tonight. Marty, do you remember your first ever game at MSG?
Well, my first ever time at MSG, I didn't play. I was the third goalie. Hasek came back, and that's when he made that windmill save on Manny Malhotra where he flipped the pads the other way. Mm-hmm. And I was about like 15 rows up because we had seats in the crowd. And I put my hands on my head like, oh, my God, what did I just witness? That was my first ever time at MSG.
Which is what Comrie did last year with the Luukkonen save.
Yes, basically put his hands on his head like from the corner,
the reason
right? He was in the corner like, ah.
Reason I bring it up is because you didn't expect any lineup changes. And there are not expected to be any lineup changes for Buffalo tonight. And that means Dennis Gilbert will get his first ever game at Madison Square Garden tonight. So I'm excited for him. He was so thoughtful in his answers in our post-game interview the other night. And I was just, I don't want to say I was skeptical, but I was glad you were optimistic that the lineup wouldn't change. And I think this is really nice for Dennis.
No, this is a cool thing. And look, the new MSG is really nice. Like the renovations they did, $1 billion in renovations over years, and it's awesome. But I miss the old, the smell of the old, the pictures on the wall when you got to the ice in the old MSG. It was so, the history was right there. But hey, anytime you're in Manhattan at MSG, it's a really cool feeling.
Again, it's the Sabres' only trip this year. We will be on the air 6:30 p.m. tonight for pregame coverage on MSG. We will see you then.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.